I don't know about you, but I'm generally disappointed on Transfiguration Sunday, disappointed with the sermon. It seems that Lutheran pastors cannot exist on that glorious mountain. Epiphany is uncomfortable for them. Lent is much more comfortable. So they get us down from the mountain as quickly as they can and give us a good preview of Ash Wednesday, which comes in several days. Today I'm going to return the favor. I'm going to stretch Lent back into Epiphany for just a little while. Consider our text for this morning. Last Sunday's gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of our Lord. But look at these verses a little more deeply from more than a Lenten point of view. Consider the first temptation, turning stones into bread, the temptation to take care of one's most basic physical needs. It seems straightforward, to be sure, but there is something beyond the issue of controlling, if not mortifying, the needs and desires of the flesh. Something beyond focusing on the Word of God when you really think about it. Our Lord replies, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every utterance that proceeds from the mouth of God." Consider what is implicit in that verse. It is that God is a God of life, who wills that his creatures live. And our Epiphany Christ is revealed to be precisely that very God, as he gave life to those whom he came to serve by his creating word, which gave food to several thousands and gave new life to a little girl. Now consider the second temptation, to jump down from the temple, to receive personal acclaim, to succeed in the prophetic mission by spectacle and not by God's way alone. "You shall not tempt the Lord your God," says our Savior Christ. And there is more in that reply as well. This time it is the truth that this ministry will succeed even if done without spectacle or show. God does not need that crutch. And we see that in Epiphany Jesus Christ, who sought no attention for himself, but humbly served those who were stricken and bowed down, scattered as sheep without a shepherd in their midst. Then there is the third temptation, the mightiest of all, to surrender oneself to the lure of absolute control, to be the God of everything, and to be glorious in one's power. Again, our Lord quotes Scripture's words, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Much more is implicit in these words. Simply stated, it is this, that all is already in God's hands, and our Epiphany Lord and Christ shows who that truly is, as he says to the disciples of John the Baptist, "Go tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised." Isaiah 35. "Say to those who are of a fearful heart, fear not, for behold, your God will come with recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the dumb sing for joy." He, Jesus, already has full control, for he is God, Yahweh, come to bring his people all his gifts, their fullest end-time hopes. He need be given nothing, nothing else at all, as odd as it may seem. And this is why he says, "Blessed is he who takes no offense at me." But is it really Epiphany after all? Can we see beyond the text with our Epiphany glasses on? Yes, we can with those glasses on. But we can really see more deeply with our Easter glasses on, the season which will follow on this Lent. It is our resurrected Lord who gives the final word. It is our resurrected Lord who is the final key. Yes, our resurrected Lord gives us life, new life, better life, new and eternal life, greater than any other life. And our resurrected Lord gives us the power and purpose for his mission, saying, "See, I am with you all the days until the close of the age. As you go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things as many as I have commanded you." Better than any attempt to imitate his ways. And our resurrected Lord is the God we worship, the Lord who proclaims without fear of contradiction, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." No other God need ever fascinate our view. Truly, we need never take offense at our resurrected Lord. And it is precisely because we know the end of the story, the glorious resurrection end to that humble Lenten story, that we need never take offense at our humble servant on the cross hanging, guilt-bearing Lenten Lord. Let us now praise him, our Lenten, Epiphany, Easter Lord, whose kingdom shall have no end.